Guys, I never dress up, so it kind of feels awkward, but that's okay. God is good. All right, well, let's pray. Larry, that's awesome what Larry shared, because that's pretty much what we're going to talk about. God always has everything planned before we get here. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, that we have a sure word of prophecy that we do well to take heed of. So, Father, I thank that everyone here has that. Their faith is in the Word of God, not in the world, like Larry was just talking about, not in science, not in intellect, not in emotions, not in romance, not in philosophy, not in anything that's in this world. Because all that's in the world is the lust, the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life. It's all there is, all there is. So, but we're not in this world. We are not of this world. Our conversation, our life is in heaven. Right now, not in the future. Right now, my life is hid with Christ and God. I don't see it, but I have faith and I believe it. That's my hope. And you promised, God, that you're the Jesus. You said you're coming back soon. That's what it says in the Bible. It said even Jesus was crucified at the end of the day, end of days. So has to be pretty soon. So we thank you that Jesus is coming back, and we're waiting for that, and we're hoping. That's our hope. It's our life. That when he comes, we'll be just exactly like him. But until then, we thank you that you're doing a good work in us and through us. And Lord, we thank you for that in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says that Jesus will confirm us until the end. That means that he will establish you. Your foundation or the base of your life will be firm until the end. It doesn't matter how crazy you are, how flaky you are, how ridiculous you are. Like Larry said, that God will keep you. And that's what I believe. I believe that I can never not win. And I believe that every day. I firmly believe that every day all things are working together for my good, because I'm not putting my faith in myself, in my ability to study, in my ability to read the Bible, in my ability to do anything, to be a good husband, to be a good father, to be godly. Although those things are all mine, because it's just a promise and it's just a gift. So my only response to God all the time is thank you, praise you, and I love you, Jesus.
Amen.
Now, we're going to talk about the things that people avoid. Really, the thing that people avoid, like Larry was saying, people want to avoid God. People are afraid of God. I'm telling you, especially Christians. Because they have a kind of a working knowledge of God, so they're afraid of him. Because he's scary. He's going to tell you to do something you can't do or won't do or something. Or you sin too much, or you're just not, you know, or you're already okay, or you could go either way. Now, we're going to read, in a minute, we're going to read about Moses. Moses had a problem. Well, he didn't have a problem. God had a problem with a controversy of Israel because they were afraid. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It says that in the Bible, if you don't know that. So your flesh, your person is afraid. You're afraid to know God. You're afraid to be intimate with him because you're going to lose your life. And you're going to have a different kind of life. And that's the fearful thing. That's what we fear the most. We fear that we're not going to have romance, or we're not going to have, you know, that extra cup of coffee. I don't know what we're afraid of, all kinds of things. So you're afraid you're going to lose your life. That's why Jesus said, when he came, the angel said, peace on earth, goodwill. God's not mad. He's not upset. He wasn't even upset at Israel, although it sounded like it, because we're going to read it, and God sounded like he was really mad. But the only thing that upsets God is that we don't know him. We don't want to know him. We want to pretend. And people have all kinds of ways to do it. You can do it religiously. You can do it heathenistically. You can do it all kinds of ways. You can avoid God. You can even read the Bible to avoid God. You can do all kinds of things to avoid God. You can be good. That's a great way. That's the one of the best. That's what Israel did. They made up all kinds of laws and stuff so that they could avoid God, to be intimate with Him. And people do that kind of stuff all the time. And it's sad because people don't know how good God is. And that's our message, is the gospel is the good news. That's why gospel is such good news, is because Jesus forgives us all of our sins. He brings us into His presence for nothing. Come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So we're finding that through the Word of God that's preached here at this church and through reading the Bible ourselves and through our experience, we're finding out that just shall live by faith. And we can be happy in this world right now in this world. We can be happy, joyful, peaceful, full of good fruits and all those things, but you can't look. And you can't be too enamored by God's works, the things He does outwardly. It's what's in here that's going on. So God is changing us all. Now listen to Moses. Exodus chapter 33. Chapter 33, verse 1. And the Lord said to Moses, "Depart and go up hence, down the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, and to Isaac, and Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send in angels before thee, and drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite." So God's taking care of all the devils. The devil, or God's enemy, you know, I was thinking about this morning. The devil is God's devil. There's not some kind of war. See, people think this. They think that there's a war going on between good and evil, and sometimes God wins, sometimes the devil wins, and God always wins. Even Paul had a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan. So God can use the devil. I'll give you a good example. Leah told me a story about Yellowstone Park, that they finally, a few years back, reintroduced wolves. Now, most people would think, well, wolves are, you know, evil, and they kill people, and they eat little babies and all this stuff. But that's not quite true. But anyway, so they reintroduced these wolves, which were normally there, that God put them there. And it totally changed the park. Totally. Because before, they were protecting the deer, which were way overpopulated, eating all the vegetation. The river was all messed up, and the vegetation wasn't right, and everything was kind of out of whack. But as soon as they reintroduced the wolves back into the environment, then everything, even the path, even the way the river flowed changed because of the vegetation grew, and it stopped all the erosion. And I just thought that was very interesting. So everything in the world is for your good. Everything. God rigged it so you'd win all the time. All the time. Even if it doesn't look like it. Even if you died. That's game. I mean, you always win. No matter what happens, you're going to win. You always win. I don't even know if we don't even know, but we do it. We live that and we see that by faith. So anyway, but here's the problem with us as Christians and in the world is people, they don't fear God in a proper way. They fear Him like they're scared of Him, like He's not good. They either believe He's an angry judge or he's disconnected to the world somehow, and He doesn't care how you live your life or who you are. He doesn't even think about you, and you don't think about Him. The Bible says in Psalms that God is not in all their thoughts. He's talking about the heathen. God is not in all their thoughts. A fool has said in his heart, there is no God. A fool. If you claim to be an atheist or that, you're just a fool. You don't even know what you're talking about. People don't even know what they're talking about when they talk about God. Oh, I think God is this, or I think God is that. But the only way we know what God's like is we read it in the Word. We have a sure word of prophecy. A sure word. That's why every day, you should, I do. I know Pastor Jim does, Larry does. And you should read your Bible every day. Because it'll tell you something about God. And it's awesome. And you can read it over and over again. Because you think, Oh, Jim's message. Oh, this message. Oh, that message. I hear it over and over and over and over again, and it's and people think, well, I already know that, but you really don't. You have to know it every day. You have to relearn. That's what's neat about being a Christian is you relearn. Everything's like brand new every. To me, the gospel's like brand new every day. I just cannot believe that God's forgiven me and loves me and all that. I just can't believe it. Because I know my flesh, I know my me apart from God. Yep. And when you, like I always, I know you guys have heard me say this before, but if you are forgiven much, you love much. If you're given little, you love little. If you really knew your life apart from Jesus, you'd be totally ecstatically in love with Jesus. And it's all by faith. The just shall live by faith. When you have faith now and you have hope now, when Jesus comes back, you won't need it. He is the end of your faith. You know what the end of your faith is? Jesus. You'll be totally sanctified. So Jesus began a good work in you, and he's going to finish it. But there's a finishing of it. There's a beginning, there's a middle, and there's the end. You're in the middle right now. You're in the, you know, the rough part. But in the end, we'll see it. But now you don't see it. You're just living by faith. You're just living by hope. Hope is the anchor of the soul. My soul is totally anchored because I have hope in Jesus. I know he's coming back. I know that everything's going my way, but I'm just doing it by faith. I'm not seeing it, everything. And you never will. Never. In this world will you see everything. You only have a down payment, which is enough. Godliness is profitable for all things, in this life and in the life to come. So when you're godly, which is Jesus in you, working it all in you, when you're godly, it's not just for this life. It's for the life to come, too. I don't even understand that, but I know it's true because the Bible says it is. I don't understand that totally because some people think, you know, like if you, let's say you're a Calvinist, you would think, well, either you're predestined, either you're going or you're not. You have no choice, blah, blah, blah. So what's the point of praying or being godly or doing anything? I don't know. It just says it in the Bible. Pray without ceasing. Rejoice always. There's a lot of things it says in the Bible that we can't actually do. But Jesus can do it in us and through us and for us and all that good stuff. So whether you're avoiding God through being good or you're avoiding God through being evil, you're avoiding God. Your flesh will avoid God at all costs. Your flesh hates God. It will not submit itself to God. It's not even able to do so. So why would we pay attention to our flesh? Why would we pay attention to the devil? Why would we pay attention to this world? They don't know anything. The world doesn't know anything. The thoughts of the wise, they are what? It says the thoughts of the wise are vain. God has chosen the weak things of this world, the things that are not, to confound the things that are. Because the things that are not seen are eternal. The things that are seen are temporal. Even if you see a person walking, that person, their flesh, what you see is not eternal. It's what's inside that's eternal. It's the heart. So God is doing that. Let's read about Moses. Okay. And he sent an angel, and he's getting rid of all the Amorites, the Perizzites, all those guys. Unto the land, verse 3, into the land flowing with milk and honey, and I will go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked, and I will not go up with thee in the midst of thee, because thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume you in the way. And then the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man did put on his ornaments. And the Lord said to Moses, saying to the children of Israel, ye are a stiff-necked people. I will come up in the midst of thee in a moment and consume you. So they're scared. They're like, oh. So this God is a scary God, and they're going to try to avoid this guy. And ye are a stiff-necked people. I will come up in the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore, now put on thy ornaments from thee. Put them off, that I may know what to do unto thee. And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it within the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of congregation. And it came to pass that they, every one which sought the Lord, went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation which was without the camp. And it came to pass when Moses went out into the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood, every one by his tent door, and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. Whew. I'm glad Pastor Jim has to do all that and I don't have to do it, because I would have to know God myself. And that's the thing. People don't want to know God themselves. But I'm telling you, you can. And you should, and you would, and you are, and you are going to. Because when you come to God, isn't this interesting that you have a stone? The Bible says you have a white stone that God's going to give you, has got a name on it. And that name is you, only you and Jesus know. That's how intimate and personal God is with each individual person. He has a name written that only you and him know. That's personal. It's you and God. As a matter of fact, even now, all you have is God. And if you have a friend or a wife or a husband or whatever relationships you have, those are just gifts from God. And most of the stuff, I always do this, and I know it's good, because what people do, say, and think, it is really none of our business. Our life is hid with Christ and God. You have a life with God yourself. Don't worry about other people. Just do it yourself. Get to know God. Love him. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Don't worry about loving your neighbor. Don't worry about all the things that the Bible says to do. You will do it if you know God. That's it. Seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else in this world will be added to you. All the relationships you need, everything you need will be added to you. But don't seek it. Don't even seek we're going to read this in a minute. Don't even seek his acts or his, all that stuff. Just keep seeking God. You'll get all that for free, for nothing. So what our thing is like Larry was saying earlier, we just submit ourselves to God. We get in his presence. We're just spending time with God. And then everything else, it works out. I don't know how it does. It does. It just works out. Then if, let's say you have a person you really want to be a friend with, and you seek, and I've seen this 100,000 times in my life, even people towards me, and if you're seeking that, then you're going to mess it up and it won't work. But if you're not seeking, like for instance, when I met Leah, I wasn't seeking a wife. I didn't even think I could even ever get married, because I was such an idiot. I mean, I went through college, I went through all these things, and I lived an ungodly, wicked life, and I got saved. And I was just happy to, I was like, I remember when I was 25, I was just like getting saved, you know, and getting filled with the Holy Spirit and all that. I was just relieved that God was real and that I grew up a Catholic. So I was just, I was pretty happy. I could die now and be pretty happy. I knew my life was over. And man, was I glad about it. I don't know about, some people aren't, but I was glad my life was over. It's rough trying to be good. It's rough trying to be wicked. Either way you go, it's a hard life. It's a hard knocks life, right? That's how the song goes. It's a hard knocks life. So it's really hard. But when I met Jesus, I thought, man, my life is over. I met the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Man, I remember Larry and I, we lived at Calvary. We lived at the church, inside the church building. We had two little apartments there. I think Larry lived in the love room. I don't know. They had a little signs of them, the love room and the Bible room or whatever the odd name. I can't remember what the names were, but peace room, yeah. Because it was an old Baptist church, and they had Sunday school, and then they had all the little labels on there and everything. But anyway, so all we did constantly all day for 2 years, we we worked there, we lived there, we went to church there, and we were just
Bible school.
We were just eating it up. I mean, we just, anything we could get our hands on, any preacher, I don't care who they were, I was going to listen to them. I was going to find out what they're all about. And we were just hungry. We just wanted to know everything. Because, you know, I grew up, I knew Hail Mary, and I knew Our Father. I knew the Apostles' Creed. I knew, that's about it. I never read the Bible. Never, ever. It was bad. Because it could lead to wild misinterpretation, which is true. But that doesn't matter. We're still supposed to read it. Anyway, what was the point I was trying to make? Then Leah came into my life, and it was totally unexpected. And that's the way God does things. If you're not seeking it, I mean, besides God, if you seek God, you'll find him. But God is not his acts. That's not who he is. He has ways. That's what Moses did. Moses knew God's way. The children of Israel knew God's acts. You know, he parted the sea. He did all these miracles and fed them, and the rock water came out of the rock and all those interesting things. And those are all good because they had to live. You know, they lived in the desert, so they had to make it. But God made them wander in that desert for 40 years because he was after something better. He wanted the children of Israel to actually know him. To know him in the power of his resurrection. Be made conformable unto his death. That's what Paul said. That's our life. Now, we are the same way. We're not going to be afraid. I tell everybody, when you sin, when you're in the midst of your sin even, when you have forgotten God, which we all do, you get distracted by television, by problems, by work, you get distracted by all kinds of stuff. Those things that distract you are just, they're just distractions, and they're sin. I'm sorry. You have to keep your mind on the Lord. My conversation is in heaven. Keep your affection, your mind, on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. It's in Colossians, if you want to read that. I think the third chapter. So your life, that's your life. That's your whole life. You have no other kind of life. As a Christian, you have no other life. There's no other life. Whatever you're into, I mean, you have to work. I know you have to do all those things. I'm not stupid. I work. I got a job. I make money. I provide for my family. I do all those things. But I'm still a Christian only. I'm not a Christian too, plus I'm a provider, plus I'm... No, you're a Christian, period. You're in love with Jesus. You're seeking the kingdom of God. All that's just added to as a gift. Because God knows you have to live in this world. He knows you have to work and make bread. He knows you have to do all these things. But that's not your life. Even being married is not your life. Your kids are not your life. Your father and mother are not your life. Nothing's your life. God is your life. And Moses, believe it or not, because you can read it in Hebrews, was a man of faith. He believed God. Just like Abraham did, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. I don't think Moses ever put too much faith in the law. I know God didn't. When he gave it, he didn't put too much faith in the fact that they were going to keep it or do it or something like that. He knew that it was going to have to be something else. It's going to be a relationship here. It's going to be fellowship. Your fellowship in 1 John says your fellowship is with the Father and with the Son only. It's not with other people. We always say we're having fellowship. I know, I understand that. But really, most fellowship is just, it's going to be 77 degrees today, and or whatever, you know, or just a bunch of small talk. But our fellowship is really with the Father and with the Son. And then whatever we get with people, other Christians, that their fellowship is with the Father and the Son, then we have fellowship. Because we're both connected to Jesus, and we're in love. If you're in love with Jesus, I'm in love with Jesus, and we're going to have fellowship. It doesn't matter if we talk for 5 minutes or 5 hours. It's the same. I met a lady the other day. My dentist is a good friend of mine, and I never met his wife. I'd always tease him all the time. You're not really married. Because every time I see you, I never have seen your wife, ever. So anyway, so she knew I had an appointment at his office, so she She actually came to the office to talk to me. But she loved Jesus. Man, she's a forensic CPA. Is that right? Something like that. Anyway, I never even knew there was such a thing. But anyway, and her husband's a dentist, and they got, you know, they all live over by TCU and all that. But anyway, she came in, and she goes, "Man, I just wanted to meet you." And then we just started talking. For like 30 minutes, all we did was talk about the Lord, how great he was, how what he's doing in our lives. And it's like I've known her all my life. And that's the way it is, you know, and it doesn't matter. I might not ever see her again. I don't know. But at that moment, we were just having fellowship, two or three together, in my name, there I'm in the midst. So we had all this great fellowship. It was a blessing to get to know her and to hear her testimony, and I shared mine, and it was a wonderful time. So, and that's the way God works. Like I said, if I never see her again, then I'll see her in heaven, I guess. I don't know. But it doesn't matter, because I'm in love with Jesus. And whatever he puts in my midst, whoever he puts in front of me, then that's good. Right? So all you have in this world, all you have in this world is Jesus. Because all that's in the world, apart from Jesus, is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life. People are proud of their lives. There's pride in this world because I did it. I got a job. And I did this and I did that. And I'm wonderful and awesome. And then there's, you know, lust of the flesh, just plain old flesh. You know, food, drugs, whatever, alcohol. Yeah, and lust of the eyes, having great stuff, a big house and all this stuff. Those things are a total waste of time because God will give you that for free. He'll just give it to you for free for nothing. I think that's awesome. Even the devil even that works out for good for me. I just resist him and he has to flee. I just submit myself to God. That's all you got to do. And it's nothing. You're just submitting to God, and the devil comes, and you're like, you know, and you just, boo, and he's gone. And then you can go ahead and receive all the blessings. In the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. That's God. The thing that's going to make heaven awesome is God. Not, will there be a dog up there? Or, what kind of cloud do I get? Probably a rain cloud. No. With lightning, though. No, you get Jesus. You'll be right in his presence. And you'll be just exactly like him. Because you'll see him as he is. There'll be no more tears. There'll be no more nothing. No more worrying. There'll be joy unspeakable and forever, constantly. We'll actually see it. And in faith, we don't need faith anymore. We won't need hope anymore. But now, we live by faith, right? Because it's in the Bible. You just read about yourself in the Bible every day. That's what's needed. That's why I love to read, especially I love to read the epistles, because it's who I am. I'm reading about myself. Love your wife as Christ loved the church, blah, 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 all this thing. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's just all in the Bible. That's just who you are. But what the world's doing right now, and it's very interesting because it almost looks like Christianity, is people are trying to love one another without God. And it kind of looks like it's working because they're compassionate to the homosexual, they're compassionate to someone, you know, to the transvestites, and they're really compassionate and, oh, they're romantic and all that kind of stuff. But that's not really love. You love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Then you can love your neighbor as yourself. So that's way different than human. Because as soon as it turns, and people are hate each other. It just turns into hate. And you saw that, didn't you? I mean, I did. When Trump won the election, people weren't happy. As a matter of fact, they were hateful. It was evil. There is a lot of evil things that happen all the time because people are... You love people as long as they do what you want. That's how little kids are. I will play with you as long as you play what I want to play. Then they get along all right. If the other person submits, the problem is that the other kid's not going to submit. They're going to want to play what they want to play. Then the two kids are at odds and they're fighting. Humans, I mean, we're the same way, adults. I will play with you as long as you like the movies I like, as long as you eat the food I like to eat, as long as you like to do the things I like to do, then I'll love you. But as Christians, we're not like that. We love everybody. Why? Because God loves us exactly the way we are. And we are hard to get along with. We're evil. We don't even think about the Lord all the time like we're supposed to or do. See, sin is not what people think it is. People think sin is smoking and chewing and going with all that do kind of stuff. But it's way deeper than that. And that's how you know how much God loves you. When you see the depth, the height, of your sin, and you see how much God loves you, man, I tell you, it changes your life. That's why I'm never afraid to, when Jim starts talking about how wicked and nasty and evil we are, it doesn't ever scare me because I know how much I'm forgiven. Those who are forgiven much love much. And you don't know. It's the goodness of God that leads you to repentance. The thing that makes me repent of my sin is not how scary God is or his law or something. It's because God loves me and I can't believe it. I mean, I can't believe it. I have faith. We all have faith. But you're just like, taken back by it. You're just like, whoa. I didn't even think about you all day, God. I just blew you off totally. And you still love me? Wow. That's amazing. So God is amazing. So, okay. Now listen to how the Israelites did it. This is how they did it. Where am I at? What verse am I at? Okay. So they built the tabernacle and all that. Moses was out there and everybody was standing by their little tent there. And it came to pass on verse 9 that Moses entered the tabernacle, and a cloudy pillar descended and stood on the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped every man at his own tent, of course, tent door. And the Lord spoke unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh to his friend. That's you. And he turned again to camp. But his servant Joshua and the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the temple. Wow. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest to me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way. Not the acts. Moses wanted to know God. He was knowing God. That I may know thee, that I might find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. So he's interceding for the people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. So I'm not going unless you're going. For wherein shall be known here that I had thy people found grace in thy sight? How are they going to know? If you don't go with us, how are they going to know you're a Christian? How are they going to know that you're anything? How are they going to know you're liberal or conservative? How are they going to know anything about you unless God's presence goes with you? So in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy and there's pleasures forevermore. So our whole life is God. His presence, when we leave our house and go out into the world to work, God's presence goes with us. So when God, because he's never leave us or forsake us. So all we have to do is get out of the way. All we got to do is rest. When I leave the house, before I leave the house some more, and I always know, God, there is no law against me today. As a matter of fact, everything the law says, that's who I am. So I'm not under any law. I'm under grace. So I have mercy and I have power. Because I'm not under any obligation to do anything, to love God or anything. I just do it because it says it in the Bible. So it's by faith. Everything's by faith. By faith, by faith, by faith. The just shall live by faith. It says it tons of times in the epistles that talk about a lot. The just shall live by faith. We live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So whatever God says, that's what I believe. Do I see it? Nope. Don't see it. I just don't see it. But most people have to see it to believe it. Even though you say you don't. Well, I'm going to get healed. I'll believe I'm healed when I see that I'm healed. Or I'll love God when he does something. Or I'm not afraid anymore, or whatever. So don't ever avoid God. God is good all the time. And he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you say you don't have sin, you're a liar. And the truth isn't in you. So you can never know God. If you say you have no sin, then you're a liar. And the truth is not in you. So you don't have any truth. But if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you all your sins, all your sins, all your sins, and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So he's doing all the good work in us. I did that last night when I was preparing some messages. I read all the scriptures. I looked up all the words, the Hebrew, the Greek, and all that, about what Jesus is doing. He began a good work in you, and he'll do it to the day of Jesus Christ. So there's an end to all this. There's an end. There's a beginning, and there's an end. And the end is soon. That's what people don't like. They don't like the fact that this world's coming to an end. That's why they believe that dinosaurs, if you watch a dinosaur program or a documentary or something, this bone is 14.5 billion years old. Because they want it to go on. Because they're scared. If I wasn't a Christian, I would want it to go on too. Because then, Jesus comes back and it says people are going to be, afraid. They're going to have heart attacks and people will shrink back. But not us. We'll see them. We'll go, wow, Jesus, we'll run right to them. Because we know how much God loves us and how he's forgiven us and he's working in us and he's doing a good work in us all the time. This is the will of God. The will of God, even your sanctification. It lists all those things. And it says, what does it say at the end there? It says he will do it. So my hope, my faith, is in the fact that Jesus is going to do everything. He's the only foundation you have. He's the anchor of your soul. Jesus is. He's the foundation. He's the building. He's everything. And then he's building you. He's the builder that's building you. In Hebrews, when it talks about Moses, I read it because I was reading about Moses, so I was reading about how Moses, the builder, Moses, God's the builder. Moses was just the person being built, is what it was saying. The guy that's building the house has more honor than the house itself, right? We're the building. God's building us, a tabernacle. This body of ours is a tabernacle of the Holy Spirit. God's building us into a holy priesthood. He's building us into a heavenly Jerusalem. That's who we are. So he's doing all the work. We're not doing any work. That should be good news for all of us. I'm not trying not to sin. I'm not trying not to do anything. I'm not trying to be anything. I'm just spending time with Jesus. I just read my Bible every day and pray. Seek the kingdom of God. That's all I do. That's all you got to do. And the rest is just that. But you do stuff, but you don't even care about it. You're not, like Larry was saying earlier, you're doing stuff, but don't worry if it's God or not God. That didn't even cross my mind. I wonder if I'm supposed to drink water today, or I wonder if I'm, supposed to love my wife, or I wonder what I'm doing today. I never wonder that stuff. I just know, man, I just want to be led by the Spirit. I know it sounds cheap and cheesy and the old Christian cliche. I'm just being led by the Spirit. But really, that's what you want. If you're led by the Spirit, then you're a son of God. That's what the Bible says. So I want to be. People always accuse you of being religious or super. You're so super spiritual. Well, what else are you going to be? You're a spiritual being. It's the Spirit that gets you. The flesh profits nothing. Zero. Nothing. Spirit's everything. Because the Spirit of God dwells in you. Right? The born-again you is Christ in you. Did you know that? It's not you fixed up or, people think weird things about that. But You're not. It's not you. It's Christ in you. Like Larry was saying earlier, you're dying. He's living. And that's Christ in you, the hope of glory. So the real you is Christ in you. A new creation. Titus even said that to him. He goes, Mom said that I'm a new creation. Jesus said I'm a new creation. So that's all you have to know. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man, filled with the Spirit. And that's who you are. So your job in this world is to keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Just keep seeking Jesus, to know Jesus, the fellowship of his sufferings, and be conformable unto his death. That's your only job. If you had one job, which you do, that is your only job, by the way, then it makes your life so simple. My one job in this life is to seek the kingdom of God, and that's it. Not to help people, not to love my wife, not to do anything like that. That's just added to me. That's just given to me. To go to church, become a pastor, or whatever people's goals are. No, you have one job. You ever see that movie, what was that movie called, Leah? The guys that went to that ranch. I forgot what it was called. But these old guys, they're all in their 40s, and they're, you know, coming to the end of their...
That's pretty young.
Yeah, it is. That's pretty young now, since I'm almost 60. But they thought, well, we're getting old, and we got a little bit of life in us. Let's do something. Let's all three of us guys get together and have this awesome vacation. So they took a month off, whatever it was. City Slickers. And they went out to this ranch. They're going to herd these cattle and all that. And so, but anyway, at the end of this is a long movie, I guess. I don't know if it was long or not, but anyway, it was a movie. At the end of the movie, they're all sitting there, and they go, well, what'd you learn? And then one of the guy learned, it's just one thing. So he narrowed it down to one thing, which was stupid, what his one thing was. But really, it's like that. I thought, man, that is true. Our one thing is to seek first kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all this stuff will be added to us. So we got one job. And everything, listen to me, if you could just get this, everything in life is a gift. It's just given to you freely. There's even a scripture. If Jesus Christ, if God the Father gave his only Son, how much more will he freely give you all things? Everything. Health, family, a joyful life, everything. And the only thing that hinders us is we don't believe it. We just don't believe it. Nah, I got it. I got to think about that. Don't think about it. Just believe it. He freely gives you all things. Money, whatever you need. Whatever you need in this life to live, that's what you'll get. If you need money, God will give you money. If you need a wife or a husband, God will give you that too. If you need healing, God will give you that too. It's a promise. That's all it is. God promises us, he freely gives us all things. Every good and perfect gift. Every good and perfect gift. Every good and perfect gift. Can you get a gift that's not perfect? You can't. The world only gives imperfect gifts because there's always a string attached. God's gifts, there's no string attached. He gives to you freely. Come and buy bread for free. So everything... And it kills our flesh because we want to earn it. Well, you know, I was a good person. I paid my tithe so God ought to bless me and help me. Or I did this or I did that. Or I prayed exactly the way I was supposed to, you know, whatever. No, it's just all a gift. Everything is freely given to you for nothing. And I've seen it. I haven't seen it in the world. I've seen people that have had Christian people praying for them, and their lives are blessed, and they're not even Christians. And a lot of times, that's even your kids. You know, sometimes you pray for your kids, and your kids are so blessed. And you're just I'm amazed that every job or every place my kids go, Shannon recently, they always get the job every single time, and it's always a blessing. And it doesn't matter how many people are going for the job; they're going to get it. because it's God's favor. It's not because they're good kids or they're awesome or anything like that, which I think they are, but that's just because I'm their dad. But it's because God's favored them because of me and Leah, because we were seeking the kingdom of God. And then God it's just a gift. Everything else is just given to you for free. You don't have to even look at it or count it. I don't even count it. I'm not counting my blessings one by one. I'm just thanking God every day. I'm thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Oh, my gosh. Thank you for baptizing me in the Holy Spirit. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my church. Thank you for, thank him for everything. And worship him. Just tell him you love him. I'll be just driving down the street. I love you, Jesus. You're so good. That's it. It's not that hard. I mean, it's a killer. It's a flesh killer, but it's still awesome. So don't be afraid. I guess if there's a thing to this message, is don't be like the Israelites. Don't be afraid of God. Just come on in. Y'all come. God is from Texas, obviously. No, just y'all come. Y'all come. Everybody come. Just come. It doesn't matter. Don't bring all your righteousness in. Don't bring all your, stuff in here. Just come just as you are, naked. Don't worry about your clothes either. I'll give you a robe of righteousness. Don't worry about getting clothed. Don't worry about anything. Just come on by faith. And God will take care of everything. And we do it by faith. And it's hard because you don't want to, you want to waste time. You don't want to read your Bible. You don't want to pray. You don't want to do all those things because it's not that interesting. But to me, it's everything. I mean, it's interesting. It never used to be. But just as I do it over and over and over and over again, and after a while, the Bible becomes your whole life. You're like, you can't wait to read it. Like, I can't wait to leave church so I can go and read my Bible or pray or something. So you just get used to it, being in the presence of the Lord. And it's fun because he's not mad at you. And I don't even know if I'm doing anything. I don't know if I'm doing any good or not doing good. I don't even know. But that's none of my business. It's none of my business. I'm just seeking first kingdom of God. If God heals me or does something, a miracle, that's his business. I'm just asking him, God, you said, I'm seeking first kingdom. I'm asking you. You said pray. So do whatever you do. Do your thing. Heal my friends. Bless my family. Help this country. Peace for Jerusalem, all those things. I'm praying those things, but I don't know. I'm just having faith because I don't see it, right? I don't see it. Even in this church, I don't see everything that God wants to do in this church. I don't see it, but I believe it. As a matter of fact, sometimes I think, man, it's getting worse. But that doesn't matter. You just have to keep your eyes on the prize, which is Jesus, and he'll do it all. It doesn't matter what it looks like, feels like, tastes like. It's going to all work together for good. Everything. Even the devil's plans, schemes will work together for our good. And I hope you believe that. So everything's working together for your good today. Amen? Let's pray. If anybody has a need, just pray. Just come to the throne and ask God. If you need healing, just ask. And don't worry about it. Don't worry if your prayer is effective or not. It's effectual. The Bible says it is. So don't even think about it. Just say it. Father, we thank you. I thank you that everyone here is healed. Any infirmities or colds or flus or cancer, anything. Doesn't matter what it is. Thank you for healing him in Jesus' name. And thank you, Father, that every financial need is met. Thank you, Father God, that because you said to pray and you would do it. So we're just doing what your word says. And we just thank you that it's done. Every relationship is restored. Everybody's life is at peace and joy, unspeakable and full of glory. And we don't care what it looks like. We know it's true because your word says it is. And everything is working together for our good. And we thank you for that. And we love you for it. And we just thank you for being forgiven us, Lord, of all of our sins, and for cleansing us of all unrighteousness. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. God's good.